Now, entwined in a sexless marriage and loving every musical minute of it, newlyweds Dina Curie and Ms. Ina Starr reinvent the wedding reception as the ultimate gay celebration of song. A show of all-time love songs with a special rainbow-hued twist, the couple will be performing from the 23rd to the 25th of November as part of the Feast Festival. Joining us now is one half of the duo, Charles Bracewell, also known as Ms. I'm a Star. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us about this show.
Well, it's kind of a gay Dimbula. No, not really. I'm not quite sure why we decided it was going to be about marriage. I think that sort of evolved over the last year. But it's really that Dean and I wanted to work on a show together after about, well, this is my 25th year of playing Ms. I'm a Star. So it's getting a bit long in the tooth. And for Dean, it must be about 15 years. So about 40 years combined in, you know, cabaret drag. He's sort of in drag. He's playing a very over-the-top version of himself. I, of course, will look like a, I don't know, sort of a Liza Minnelli impersonator wannabe. So it's all good.
A perfect drag character.
Absolutely. I'll tell you one thing. One of the best things I ever did was that when I started 25 years ago, I designed a character that was about 45 years old. And so I still look sort of exactly the same, which is nice. Not me, of course. Underneath, I've aged considerably, but yeah.
So can you tell us a bit more about the conceit behind the show?
Well, I think that we're both kind of fascinated with Boston marriages and the idea of, you know, two people who are very gay deciding to get married, but not in the way of the discussion that's currently happening in this country, but around the idea of, you know, it's such an old idea. You know, we're going back 100 years ago, 150 years ago, where two people who were gay might decide to get married for social reasons. And so that's what the Duetaholics are, is a couple who met in the dying days of the 1970s and decided that perhaps they were safer in a relationship with each other as friends, because whenever they tried to have love affairs with other people, they went crazy. I think we can all relate to that, yes. You know, that, you know, tear off your arms and roll down a salt staircase kind of stuff. And so that makes for a really fun show, because it means that we've got all the sexual tension of a Disney movie sort of played out over some very fun gay themes. Of course, then on the other hand, we are in the middle of this completely different discussion. And, you know, we certainly want everyone to be as happy as we are together.
So was it clear to you coming into the Feast Festival that was the sort of climate you were coming into?
Well, you know, I've been watching this. I'm actually a New Zealand U.S. citizen, and so for me, in designing a show that's about marriage, I'm coming from a culture that figured this out a little bit earlier on. No insult, but my home state of Minnesota is an arch-conservative, like really, really Pat Buchanan territory, and they still managed to be the first people to bring same-sex couples to the altar. So, yeah, let's get on with it.
But I think, a little slow.
Yeah, but what I do think is that it can be so exhausting to be advocating a cause. And what we're saying is, and Dean certainly is very involved in media and politics in Melbourne, is that you have to have celebration at every step of success. I know I'm really tired. You know, I just want, let's just all get married. But it is a time to celebrate. And I guess that, you know, we're very mindful with the show that this is a show about celebration. It is about a successful couple who have managed to get together for the right reasons. And so I guess, you know, in the context of the Feast Festival, I would hope everyone would come out and sing along some great wedding songs with us. Do you guys have a favorite wedding song?
Well, I was just about to ask you that. you read my mind, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness. I was so, as a little person, I was so obsessed with Bette Midler. And Chapel of Love, for me, is it then.
Yes.
Because she, you know, took that old classic and made it into a new classic.
That is definitely a great song.
But we do have, you know, some of the ones you might have heard at weddings before. So we do, you know, we've got tonight, Islands in the Stream, Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong, Going to the Chapel, Stop Me Anytime. No, that isn't the name of a song.
No,
but we just wanted to, at the end of the day, we just wanted to really have some fun with it. And besides everything else, you know, wedding fashion is hilarious. So, you know, we both get to wear some ridiculous, fabulous outfits. And above all else, spend an hour on stage with a good friend entertaining people who've come to have a good time.
Well, I mean, you have to enjoy what you're doing, so you might as well just make it extravagant and go with it.
Yeah, the last show that I did, and this is a bit to do, but both of us are coming off of quite serious shows. Certainly were when we were working on this, and I had just come off of a show called Sia Sia Wanna Be Ya, which is a show using Sia's songs written for other people, 25 songs in 60 minutes. And exploring her feminist themes through her music. So a big sing, and B, very intense, tears every night. There are no tears in this show.
Other than happy tears. I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Sing the song. We're speaking with Charles Bracewell, who portrays Ms. I'm a Star in the Duetaholics with his partner, Dean Akuri, about talking about their upcoming shows this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night as part of the Feast Festival. So how did you two meet?
Well, very interesting. We knew each other very slightly, but I'll backtrack. The thing that's great about cabaret is that certainly, as I believe cabaret, is that you sort of try to take stuff that's real to you, and then you roll it in sugar and deep fry it. So Dean and I actually sort of knew of each other, but then we met at a terrible funeral, like a really tragic, awful funeral. And just, as is the way of the world, just went, you're that guy. Oh, this is really interesting to see you as a real person. It was just one of those great experiences where you just we both immediately just went, I didn't know that that was who and what you were. And we were firm friends after that. And then Dean did an incredible show for Midsummer a couple of years ago at the Spiegel Tent called Furlesque, which was, you know, that was when probably the burlesque extravaganza was reaching its top. And so he decided to put together one where it was kind of strange gender drag. But so it was a big circus extravaganza of drag of all different kinds, everything from the bearded lady to a very butch man whose voice was like a woman, all this stuff in between. And I was brought along to be just the drag queen. But we had such fun together, and we got to sing a lot of the songs that are in this show over the course of the season. And then, you know, then fate threw its marbles, and here we are.
So what's it been like working with Dean on this show? Someone that you trust and respect and probably it seems would have a lot of fun with. How's it been putting the show together?
It's been really exciting. That's a really good question, because I think that sometimes if you know people really well, the temptation is to work on and on and on and on and on about the show. But because we have very busy lives and trust each other so much, it's just been constant. So what do you, you take the high, you want to go low, yep, fine. So it's been a really smooth process, and we were really fortunate to have the show in the Cabaret Showcase at Festival Voices, which is in Hobart, and got to try it out on an enormous audience, like as in a much bigger audience than we probably will ever have again, which is one of the nice things about Festival Voices and some of the other big cabaret festivals, is that you can try material out on, you know, a few hundred people per show, and really get a sense of what works and what doesn't. And that was an incredibly important part of the process. We looked each other in the eye after that show and went, I want to fix, we both went, not that song ever again.
That did not work well. That did not work. Near it.
And it's no longer in the show. But yeah, no, that was a good trial of fire for us, and good that we could see, both of us see what was good and bad about the show right off the bat.
And does it allow for that sort of looseness while on stage, that you both sort of know each other so well?
It absolutely does, especially because there's such a high degree of audience involvement. And anyone who's seen my shows in Adelaide, and obviously I used to live here and do shows here, did several shows at the Cabaret Festival, and I think I did 10 shows in the 10 years that I was here. So anyone who knows me knows that by audience interaction, I mean audience lap sitting, table rolling, scaffold jumping. So it gets fun. And I just have to say, for the record, because we're contractually obligated because of the venue, to say there will not be a food fight.
Though you want there to be.
There will not be a food fight.
No,
I think we're covered as far as Nexus is concerned.
There's
now.
There's no planned food fight.
There is no... Oh, see, that's gold. The parentheses air really made it.
It's not specifically built into the show.
That's right. No. If it happens organically at a particular pre-planned moment where everyone happens to have food in their hands...
What can you do?
Everyone turns up with raincoats and is ready for it. That's not my
hint, hint,
fault.
Everybody. Hint. So when it comes to performing, what made you want to be a performer?
Well, my family were very into music. And so I would have said that the biggest inspiration that I had was that they were the kind of parents who just took me along to everything. And had a huge record collection. So I got to see some of the people who are still my heroes today when I was 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. I saw Bette Midler when I was 5, but that was because I insisted. So that was my choice. I'm the gayest child ever.
I want to go see Bette Midler.
Take me to Bette Midler.
That's right. I want to dance. Chapel of Love.
But no, it was definitely that. I mean, I kind of feel for those people who get into music and don't have that they simply have only the drive inside to do it, whereas I had the drive inside and a built-in audience of my family who are willing to entertain my every musical, fantasy and, lots of shows in the lounge room.
I think that's a classic story for everyone. Gather around.
That's right.
Look at me for a minute.
I know. When I was young, I thought it was just me because I would never go to anyone else's little shows. I would only be putting on my own. But later on, I found out all the little artsy kids were doing it.
And weren't the only one.
And so, what else is planned for the future?
Well, this is the Thursday night is the kickoff of a national tour, which it continues to extend and feels like it's going to go on now forever. So the near future is definitely the Duetaholics. This is, we have now 8 cities after this, and we're calling it the honeymoon road trip. So we're just, getting in the van with our dresses and suits, and we're, heading to all points east.
And so once again, the show this Thursday, Friday, Saturday night at the Nexus Arts venue.
Yes, indeed. The Duetaholics. Come and celebrate our 167th wedding anniversary. I think gay years is a bit like dog years. But.
Well, Charles, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Great to talk to you.
Absolute pleasure. That was Charles Bracewell, a.k.a. Ms. Irma Starr from the Duetaholics. We'll be performing with his partner, Dean Akuri, speaking with us about the upcoming shows this Thursday, Friday and Saturday night at Parter's Feast Festival. You can buy tickets at Feast website, www.feast.org.au, or head to our website and we'll have a link in the podcast for this interview.